Buenos días, ¿qué tal?
Good morning.
This is your host, Isela Martin.
And your co-host, Gabriela Fernandez.
This is La Hora with Isela.
Y Gabriela.
1440 KVON. We are live streaming on KVON.com. We do have an Instagram account. We're always trying to take you there, but gosh, a veces como que están medio flojitos.
I know. We want you guys to like get excited, get pumped up, keep up to date with us. A veces estamos acá dando boletos gratis. Hello, ¿a quién no le gusta boletos? Especially to mariachi este domingo. We had this really prize for everybody. And, you know, we have a lucky winner, so we're going to be doing all of that and more towards the end of the show, though.
Yes, so we do have an exciting show. We are at a one-year anniversary from the Napa Complex fires. And so we have a really interesting show. So we have District 5 Supervisor Belia Ramos. Mm-hmm. Will be kind of talking to us throughout the first segment, so a little bit of change. And also in the second segment of Conversaciones, we'll be talking to John Robertson from our Napa County Sheriff's Department and Barry Bierman with Napa County Fire from Cal Fire as well.
Yeah, so it's like they get a real treat today, Isela. They get two conversaciones
I know. Two for one.
It's not even Halloween yet, and we're giving out treats.
So week past, Safeway Open was in town. We definitely had so many guests here.
So many hasta también preocupaciones porque había unas veces I was working the event and there were certain moments while I was there where it was so damn windy. I was like, dear Lord, baby Jesus, please, we cannot have a repeat of last year. ¿Te imaginas?
Yeah,
después del mismísimo evento.
Yeah, I know. That'd be a darn coincidence.
You know, there was that fire that same day over in, what was it, Solano County?
Yeah.
I think so. I was just like, here we go again.
Actually, I drove through that. So you know the effects of it and how Mother Nature works. So it was, I had no idea that Solano County was on fire. I had to drive through the interchange of Livermore and what is that, Dublin?
Uh-huh.
Hasta allá, and I could not see, and it just took me back. It took me back to the visibility.
Oh, my goodness.
La visibilidad no se podía ver.
Everything's like cloudy and smoky.
Why?
And, yeah.
What's burning? Should I stop driving? Should I be heading back? And so, you know, there was a couple trucks that had like personal items. I'm like, are people evacuating? And I didn't even know, but it wasn't. And actually,
we're the kids.
And I was headed to San Jose, but it was just crazy.
I know.
And then it actually caught up to me almost at Gilroy. So,
what?
Yeah. I guess it was pretty, pretty bad. Yeah.
I'm curious. I wonder if it was PG&E related. Do we know yet?
I swear there.
And so I saw this. I was like, KQED was like announcing how many lawsuits they're in right now. And not that it's funny, you know, I'm over here laughing, but it's a little ridiculous that it's just like they're just going to keep getting slammed.
Well, that's our responsibility, though. So what PG&E gets sued for, then we pay for it, actually, as a
customer. That's very true. Very true, unfortunately.
Anyway.
But the Safeway Open was so much fun. It was, like, super busy. I was working it. Will and Julissa were out there having a good time. So I got to see them real quick. And I don't know. It was overall a good time. Lots of fantastic artists. I would say Billy Idol was probably my most favorite one. Just because, you know, he really got his crowd started and going. And
yeah.
Everybody knows Billy Hagar song, or not Billy Hagar, Billy Idol. I just mixed Sammy Hagar.
Billy Hagar. Hey! So, from the Safeway Open, I'm taking this away because there was a Chevron donation through the Safeway Open to Napa Valley Unified School District, and
really?
They're actually donated for STEM Labs, and I have to give a huge shout out to them because it was pretty freaking amazing. I saw the dollar amount, but I want to make sure I have a dollar amount for you next week. An accurate one, and where the money's going to. No, excuse me. I saw it like briefly. I was looking through my notes. I go to bed and I'm reading for the next day. And so not note-taking for sure.
Yes.
So, a lot of visitors here in the Napa Valley, El Huracán Michael. We know that the panhandle of Florida is going through one right now. And, of course,
I've heard
all those
even
other
spilling
states.
Over into, like, North Carolina, too. So they're, you know, after experiencing their hurricane, now they're kind of experiencing the aftermath of this one.
And this is pretty horrible because I don't think they were expecting it. So there wasn't a chance for evacuation to actually take full effect. So,
yesterday was pretty scary. Yesterday I was listening to the news and they were even saying, if you haven't evacuated yet, it's too late.
Yeah.
And I was like, ¿te puedes imaginar?
Yeah, no,
like,
just...
I mean, I do, you know, not in terms of a hurricane, but then I think about a year later and the fires, and, you know, we have all these guests out in the lobby that we're getting ready to talk to about, you know, progress and everything that's been going on. But you think about what an evacuation actually requires and the fear that goes through your heart and how you're just like, ¿dónde voy?
At one
like,
point,
where do I go?
At one point, you just say, ¿qué me llevo? ¿Qué es lo más necesario? It's not... Really, I did hear someone say, all I grabbed was my pictures because those are irreplaceable and passports, birth certificates, and that was it.
Yeah.
I think someone said, my insurance policy. Boom, I'm leaving.
Well,
hey. Hey, that's it.
You reprint those or look them up later.
All right. Like, everything's online. Like, it's all right. So, anyway. So, what's happening? Something that we didn't say last week. California will have to require women on corporate boards. So, we are the first in the nation.
We are.
I'm really happy about that. So,
I think it's a, you know, I'm not saying that it's a bad thing for that move to get made. I think it's fantastic. It just makes me wonder, you know, when there was the affirmative action policy and how certain schools require, you know, coaches of different ethnicities to be on there, even jobs wise. It's great. I think it's a great policy, but then there's also so many critics about it in terms of qualifications and who could actually be better just because you're here to meet like this one.
So
this
you're
one quote.
Yeah, so you're trying to meet that one requirement, but is it the right one?
Yep.
So
that's the difficult part that we get into. But do I think it's fantastic? Yes.
Yeah, so I'm super happy about it. So with that said, we're gonna make an introduction for Ms. Belia Ramos. Belia is our Napa County Supervisor for District 5. Belia has served on the Napa County Board of Supervisors since January of 2017. She represents the 5th District. And what does that mean? We'll get to ask her what the 5th District is, where it's at, where it's located. I'm sure she represents us as a whole and not necessarily just the 5th District. Born and raised in Napa County, whoop whoop, and Belia is a small business owner, attorney, community activist who's dedicating to making Napa County a great place to live, work, and raise a beautiful familia. We welcome you, Belia. Thank you for being on our show.
Yes, bienvenida.
Yeah. Gracias. Buenos dias.
I'm going to have you move your mic just a little bit more. There we go. And Belia, I'm so happy that you're here. I know it's a year later after the Napa Complex fires, and we've decided to start off our show because we are celebrating Latino Heritage Month, and here in Napa Valley, we wanted to have a representation of who's at the table and who's actually speaking for our community. And so, which, ¿qué mejor que tú? Because I have to say, there was not one channel that I didn't turn into, that I turned on.
Where you didn't see Belia's face?
Well, I wasn't sitting on my couch. I was volunteering. Every time I turn my head, you know, at a, you know, shelter or whatever, there's Belia.
There's Belia, yep.
And, you know, I had family calling in. It's like, who's this chick, Belia Ramos? And I'm like, oh, she's her supervisor. Not to worry, she'll keep you on your toes, so nothing else is happening. Because you know how the news is, a veces.
Yeah.
Se enfocan en lo malo. Yeah. And I'm like, and I think you did a great job kind of diffusing that. So, thank you so much again for being on our show. And I guess, tell us briefly, before I jump into the Napa Complex fires and at our 1 year anniversary, tell us briefly, when you were nominated in office, but the area you represent, please.
Certainly. So I was born at the Queen of the Valley, and I grew up in St. Helena and Pope Valley, lived in Napa. And when I decided to do the lawyer thing and join Firm Life, American Canyon really made sense and for my home. And my dad had convinced me to go to American Canyon, and he said, you know, it's an up and coming place, and it's going to be a wonderful city, but not without you.
Right.
And so I moved down there in 2005, and I love it. It's home. It's absolutely home. My district is comprised of all of American Canyon, and then you go up the valley, you go up into the county, and when you get to the Carneros area and the and the Butler Bridge and the river. Then it separates into Supervisor Wagon Connect's district and mine. So I'm on one side of Highway 29. He's on the other. I have the Yacht Club area.
Okay.
I have south of Imola. So it includes Napa Valley College, Meritage, Skyline Park. And then you basically take Imola up into the avenues. You go all the way to Lupine Hill Road and you go due east. So I have all of Coombsville.
Okay.
And I don't have Silverado Middle School. And then I have the other portion I have is Alta Heights all the way up to Ashler Drive.
That's a really big district.
It is. But surprisingly enough, the way it works, we look at population. So when district lines are drawn, you look at the total county population, you divide it by five. I do not have the largest district. The largest district is District 3, it's Supervisor Dillon's district, because that incorporates Pope Valley, Calistoga, St. Helena.
Oh, wow.
Those smaller areas. So it is big in that sense.
If you think about land mass-wise,
when you
but
look
in terms
at land
of population.
They're all the same in population. I have the third largest geographical area. First is District 3, then is District 4, because those two districts, that's Supervisor Pedroza, those two districts share Lake Berryessa out into that area.
Gotcha.
Not a very populated area. But I am the only one that has entirely one city limits within its jurisdiction. Supervisor Dillon has two. She has St. Helena, Calistoga, splits Yountville, and then everyone gets a little share of Napa, which is only fair, right? All of Napa gets five supervisors.
So I'm glad you explained that to me, because we look at art for school district and it's really confusing, and a lot of people even say, why do you do it that way?
Yeah.
Can we like restructure? And you know, it's really crazy. But if you really think about, like, when I was voted into school district, I really have a lot of my constituents that cannot vote.
Yes.
So I'm really glad as a whole that, you know, people helped me get into office, including American Canyon all the way to Yountville. So I really, but I get the entire, the area, and a mí me encanta the fact that, you know, that I represent the unrepresented.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's,
and you know, and that's,
it.
In public service, you know, I've always taken the position that we're only as good as our most vulnerable person, and we need to look at our most vulnerable population and serve that population. And in fact, that's what we do at the county. The county's constitutional charge is to provide for the most impoverished through health and human services and self-sufficiency programs, to run a jail. I talk about a very vulnerable population, to run our road systems, to run sheriff and fire. So when you look at what we do at the county, that is what we do. And it's our county clients may not always be those people that are the ones that are electing us into office. But
right.
The beautiful part about public service is that's not a question you ever ask.
Yeah.
You help everyone. And it's certainly for me, having been born here in Napa County and to represent this entire county as a whole, it's an absolute privilege. I had the very unique distinction of being the first Latina elected to the Board of Supervisors. And to me, that means a lot, because back in 2012, when the governor had appointed Judge Elia Ortiz to the Superior Court, I had the opportunity to speak at her investiture. And I said, you know, for the first time ever, I was looking at someone's face that looked like mine.
Ah,
that was awesome. Ranked higher than me.
Right.
That's a big deal.
It is.
Now I am that face.
Yeah.
that's ranked high in elected office here in this community. It comes with a great feeling of satisfaction to know that I've grown up here through my parents' hard work. I was able to go to college and have this profession and to lead this community, and to also know that it comes with the responsibility of mentoring others and showing them you too can do it, and look, my face looks like yours.
Claro que sí. Si nos están escuchando ahorita, tenemos a la señora Belia Ramos, nuestra supervisora de Napa County. And so I just wanted to ask you another question. How did you know you wanted to run for supervisor?
My first job out of college was working for Congressman Mike Thompson. I was 20 years old when he offered me a job. And I couldn't imagine doing anything else. I tried. I tried really hard. I tried to go and be a lawyer, and I was in the city, and I was wearing a black suit and Firm Life and eating three meals a day at my desk, and I didn't like it. It just wasn't for me. Mm-hmm. So public service to me is... It's a lot like when I was an attorney, only better, because when you're an attorney, they have to pay the bills, right? no one has. I don't have to bill.
Right.
I get to help everyone.
Yeah.
And it's a great sense of satisfaction for me to know that I am the one improving people's quality of life every single day.
Yeah.
I get to do that. I was on the American Canyon City Council before being a supervisor. And each time I'm like, I want to do more. I want to do more. And when when Supervisor Caldwell had approached me, he told me, that was my predecessor, he told me, I'm going to retire. I'm not going to run again, and I'd like you to run for the seat. And I talked with my family, and I told my parents, I'm a single mom of three kids, and I told my parents, if I'm going to do this, I'm thinking about it. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to need help. That was on a Saturday night. On a Sunday, I go to my parents' house, and there's a Suburban, brand new Suburban, sitting in the driveway. And I was like, Dad, is that your boss's Suburban? It looked just like it. And he goes, nope. I'm like, whose is it? He's like, it's your mom's. And I said, why'd you buy her a car and when? And he's like,
and why a Suburban?
He's like, I bought it for her this morning because you're running for supervisor.
Oh, wow.
And she needs to take your kids everywhere, and she needs a bigger car.
Phenomenal.
So at that moment, I was like, I guess I'm running.
And it feels good when you have the support of, you know, not just your parents, but anybody, other individuals that, you know, care deeply for you, and to see that kind of support, you know,
I am,
not materialized, not the materialistic things are necessarily always important, but to see it in your face like that, I'm like, this is so real that he even went out and got my mom a car to now accommodate all of my children.
Exactly. And, you know, for me, I have the most supportive family. It's incredible, you know. You know, when you think about, you know, Latino families, we're Mexican, and having been raised here, culturally, there are a lot of adjustments that you need to make.
Yeah.
You know, I've had the tíos that have said, "No la manden al colegio porque se va a casar." You know.
I've heard that.
And my parents are like, we think we need to send her to college. We think we need to do that. That's the right thing for them. But then also them, you know, not understanding, like, why don't you come home on the weekends? Like, every weekend. I'm like, because I would need to drive 3 hours and I need to study. You know, the bar exam was a phenomenal learning experience for all of us when I had to tell my parents, I can only talk to you for 1 hour on Sundays.
Mm.
I need to study. And the volume of studying that I did was a foreign concept for my family and for them to adjust to that. You know, my mom to this day, I probably already have like 3 text messages from her.
Our mom, at least get about like 10, 10 voicemails.
You know what? Don't teach them emojis. Oh, the things that woman sends me. The things that woman sends me by emojis. But to have that support of my family and now to have the support of my community to do this is really amazing. And I must say, you know, during the fires and since then, you know, strangers come up to me at Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
And they're just like, I know who you are, and I just want to say thank you, and you're doing a great job.
That's awesome.
That's good.
And I'm like, and I'm going to cry.
It's a phenomenal feeling. I know exactly what you're talking about.
It is.
And kind of going into the fires, I was Googling your bio. I didn't get one in. So I was sitting here like, okay, I got to say something about Melian. I just don't want to make it about the fires. I really need to know a little bit more about you and how you came into office. But through that, there was an article, two, 3 days ago, that was posted in North Bay Business?
Yes.
And the name or the title of it was or is Adversity Created a Community in Napa County After the Wildfires. And that's really kind of like your take of what happened, your eyes looking at and saying thank you to all of those that were involved. And it's really, I have to ask, it must be so hard to say thank you because you know it was just so many people and you know you're always missing someone in, in La Plática.
Yeah.
So how hard was it to put that together?
I cried more than once. No, for me, it's, and I said it in that article, and I said it, I read that article on Tuesday during our board meeting because I felt like it captured where I'm at and how I feel. It's very easy in a disaster to feel helpless. It's very easy to be overcome with the emotion that everyone deals with. I remember I had maps and I was pinpointing with a Sharpie where my friends were located, and I remember calling people and having phone trees like, hey, we need to evacuate this area, go to so and so's house, and waking people up in the middle of the night and having to balance that with, I know my kids are safe in American Canyon with my mom, but not having the time to talk to them or not even having the cell phone connectivity to talk to them, to then having to show the strength to the communities to minimize chaos. That was my job. I felt like that was my job, to minimize chaos, to give certainty.
To remain calm in a chaotic
time. Yeah. Absolutely. And it was heartbreaking, but it was all possible because I had so many people lifting me up from moment one. It was incredible to know that I was at the right place at the right time to be able to help my community. I don't have a filter, and for some that's kind of hard to accept. I'm super honest. If I don't know, I don't know. If I don't want to tell you, I'm just be like, that's not important to us right now. And I really took that position. I really took the position, when the press would push me and say, well, how many people are evacuated? I'm like, I'm not going to stop and count.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm about right now.
Right.
This county needed to save people. Yeah. And really, really asserting strength as a board collectively to tell the media, this is our press conference, not yours. That was a really, that's what made us different from any other place in that was suffered disasters and during their press conferences. We controlled the message because they wanted information, but I had a bigger task, and the bigger task was to communicate information to our community. And being able to do so with strength, to be able to do so with badges, the ones that are right out here, the sheriff and our fire chief to back me up to say, yes, this is what the county's doing, that meant everything.
And I just have to say, you did that excellently because I was going to every single conversacion, topic, whatever you want to call it, plática, that all of you guys are putting on, from the ones happening at the schools to the ones happening like town hall meetings to the one that happened in La Iglesia at the Spanish church. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and you were there every single time. And I was like, is she sleeping at all? Because it's like, no. You don't even think about sleep at that point because the bottom line was, you knew what it was going to take and your priority was the community. And I think that really showed.
Thank you. When I came on board of the county and I did a tour of our emergency operations center, I was like, why do we have bunk beds here?
You like,
stupid. I don't get it. And one day, we were there. It was the first night, and
Is like, I'll show you why.
I was told by our PIO, you know, you've got a 3:30 in the morning with NBC or some national syndicate. And I was like, I don't have time to go home and sleep, and I need something. So I grabbed my jacket, I grabbed one of the pillows there, and I laid, and there were no sheets, and I was like, this is why we have a bunk bed. And next time I need to have a pillowcase and sheets, I have a pillowcase and sheets in my go bag now.
There you go.
But you learn. Yeah. But I wanted to tell you guys a story, because I wanted to share it with you so that other people can know it. And it happened here at this radio station. And this radio station was just amazing and saying we're available to you and to allow us to communicate that. I was looking at one of my Facebook memories, which right now they're a hard dose of reality of what we've been through, and I saw that on what would have been the night of October 9th, it was Ines had invited me over to come and speak in Spanish at night, and they opened the airwaves for me to be able to speak in Spanish because the Spanish outlets weren't coming to us yet.
Mm-hmm, right.
And it was an incredible collaboration where everyone committed, including this radio station, to helping us do our job. Our job's communication, right? That's mm-hmm. it. And you guys were an integral part of that.
Actually, our show was born because of the fires.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's such a trip to think about.
La Hora exists because of the fire.
And that was literally, so from day one, it was actually evacuating people from the Atlas Peak, Knob Hill, bringing them to the, fairgrounds. And it was myself and I remember her, Blair. And she'll kill me because I'm saying her name on the air, but it was just herself and me at the fairgrounds, and then from the fairgrounds we were sent over to Crosswalk. And then once we filled Crosswalk, my son was already at Napa Valley College helping set up, and so no sleep, it's just go.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I think, and I go back and I try not to remember as much, but sometimes you have to remember just to kind of, get, ¿cómo se dice? Kind of to vent. Mm-hmm. Because si lo guardas adentro, it's really heart-wrenching. I helped during Hurricane Katrina. That was a reality check for me where I looked and I saw disaster and I saw people stealing and killing and doing all this other stuff. And you're kind of sitting there. I'm like, is this, you need to kind of step back and say, I'm not part of this, but I need to help this. Mm-hmm. Y con eso, I have to say that even though you said it earlier, but not really saying it, is that Napa County stepped up, and there was agencies that came here on a national level, and it's not that we booted them out, but we kind of said, we can take this on. And I thought that was phenomenal, because you had national agencies that wanted to, give to us and those efforts and take donations, and we actually stepped up as a community. Our nonprofits said, we'll take care of it. We'll do our own fund, or I think it was Napa Community Foundation.
Yes.
And they still have, for the next one, ver si pasa. And so I think at this point, what did we take away from it? That yes, it will happen again. When? We don't know. Will it be an earthquake? Will it be a fire? Pero ya sabemos que we have Belia, Tenemos a Belia, tenemos también a los supervisores.
Yep.
As a whole.
And the best thing we can do is be prepared.
And it's boots on the ground. And
absolutely.
It's something you always say, and I see it on your Facebook pages all the time. You have a couple pairs of shoes on there. And it reminded me this morning because I caught my shoe on a small pothole getting my coffee this morning. And I'm like,
was
are
it
you
in the,
kidding
is the pothole
me?
In the county?
No, it's city. City of Napa. No, I'm just kidding. So, and it ripped the back of my shoe, and I'm thinking to myself, I said, uno no es pobre for the shoes because they're ripped. It means because you're getting things done, you're walking in them, you're getting them dirty. And so I thought that was just, even though, you know, you're taking pictures and people see it like, she's always showing off shoes. But you know what? No, you're telling people, I'm walking in these shoes. Absolutely. I have business to run in them. And so if you don't like it, aunque se me rompan, aunque estén nuevos, there's a story to be told.
Absolutely. And, you know, for me, my shoes, I learned something from the fires through my shoes. And that was when on the second day I had taken one of our county employees and my escort to go check on her house. She had heard that it had burned, and I had room for one person in my car, and we went there. And as we were coming in, there are parts that were still on fire, and her house was gone. And there were the shoes of her children were in the driveway from them leaving, and there were wind chimes that were on the ground, and I could see flames, and I was wearing a pair of gray boots, and those boots, I didn't pay attention where I was standing. When I got back to the EOC, the bottom sole of my boot had melted.
Really?
And that's because you have root balls underneath the ground that are still burning, and you have hot spots. And the top of the boot looks fine.
Yeah.
And the bottom is not. And that journey of knowing where my shoes have been,
yeah.
That journey of where my shoes are going in the day, it's also kind of fun, but it means it's a lot.
There's a story.
Yeah. There's a story, but behind every pair of shoes, there's a story, and it's funny when some people are just like, "Eh, you're all about the shoes." I'm like, it's more than the shoes.
Yeah.
It's where the shoes are at.
Yeah. Belia, it is a great pleasure to have you on our show. We have two other guests. We have our Napa County Sheriff here, and we also have Cal Fire. I cannot wait to speak to them. But like all of our guests, we want to always give you a welcome back. La puerta siempre está abierta.
Gracias.
And not just on an anniversary. We'd like to, you know, talk to you about, you know, what's happening in the community, Napa County, American Canyon. Mm-hmm. A mí siempre quiero escuchar la historia de American Canyon.
Absolutely.
You know, siempre
Absolutely.
Quiero traerlos para acá. You need to drag Mr. Our mayor.
Yes. Leon.
Mr. Leon.
Yes.
Okay, so everyone was attached or copied on that email. We're like, come on, we need to get you guys all in here. And also our mayor from Calistoga wanted to be here today. And unfortunately, we're going to have to, you know, set some time aside for his own show.
Yeah.
Pues muchas gracias,
gracias.
Belia.
Gracias, Belia. Gracias, gracias.
If you're just tuning in, this is La Hora with Isela.
Y Gabriela.
On 1440 AM. Please stay tuned. We have an interesting show, 1 year anniversary from Napa Complex Fire. Stay tuned. Hola, hola. Welcome back. This is La Hora with Isela.
Y Gabriela.
On 1440 AM. If you are just tuning in on 1440 AM, we just completed our show with Belia Ramos, yeah. District 5 supervisor, and she took us back a year later into the Napa Complex Fire. She did also mention to us the area donde representa. Mm-hmm. And with us now, we have John Robertson, the Napa County Sheriff's Department. Sheriff Robertson has been in law enforcement for the last 38 years, the last 6 years as the elected sheriff of Napa County. Welcome.
Woo. Thank you. Welcome.
We have Barry Bierman, Napa County Fire Department, Cal Fire. He's been with Cal Fire since 1986. He's worked his way through the ranks within the department. In 2007, he was promoted to battalion chief at St. Helena headquarters. And after 6 years, he transferred to Napa Battalion. In 2014, he promoted to Napa County as Napa County Fire Chief. Napa County Fire Department currently has 250 career and volunteer members.
Wow.
On the night of October 8th, 2017, he was the incident commander of the Atlas Fire. Welcome, Barry Bierman.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yes, of course. Gentlemen, I'm going to get down to it. Our show always seems to go really, really fast. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to, you know, what time did you guys get the call last year? How did it happen through your eyes? So we got Belia's perspective, and we kind of want to get yours now.
So we had started to receive some calls for some possible fires in Napa. We actually had a report initially of a fire possibly up off of Dry Creek Road close to the Sonoma County line. And so the on-duty battalion chief started heading that way. The winds were very, very strong at that point. That was about 9:30 at night. Yeah. And then we got a call of a possible fire out in the area. The Silverado Country Club was another call, and that's how I got involved. I usually don't respond to fires, but I knew we were short on some of our chiefs with these other fires, so I started going over towards the Silverado Country Club, and then we quickly discovered we had a large fire burning up on the ridge above off of Atlas Peak area.
When you say large, how large would you say that was during that time?
I believe the reports from the aircraft, I think CHP had a aircraft in the area and was reported at over 100 acres already running along the ridgetop.
So then so you said you received a call for a suspected fire and you said you drove out there. So is that typical protocol? Just because I don't really know how this works. Does someone always physically have to drive out to the site to verify it and see what's going on? Or?
Well, we had a report of a fire possibly in one of the tents originally.
Okay.
And then the report came in. There was fire actually up on the ridge. But yeah, it was a report of possible fire, and we send all of our resources towards that area. And it went from a possible tent on fire to the actual hills and the wildland that were burning way up above it.
So once this took place, and you said 100 acres, goodness, that's in a matter of how much time do you think that burned?
You know, I don't know about the time frames. I know that as the first chief officer there, I drove up Atlas Peak Road to try to get to the fire to start seeing about where the access was going to be and start commanding the incident. Mm-hmm. And I quickly saw how fast the fire was spreading. And as I got to the fire, fire crossed the top of the road up above the pet cemetery, I would believe.
Yeah.
And then I turned around to get back out because I knew I couldn't command the fire up there. I needed to get to an area at the clubhouse there in the parking lot. That's where we put the incident command post. So I wanted to get back down to that. And by the time I turned around and started heading around back to the bottom, fire that was on at least one ridge over had already come across the lower part of Atlas Peak.
My gosh.
And we already started to have homes that I could see were starting to burn. And we didn't even have any resources really in the area yet. It was moving that fast.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, it takes me back. And it's kind of, for me, I was only doing groundwork here in the city of Napa. So I really never had the opportunity to see the fires. I actually, you know, now that I drive to see clients or homes out in the Berryessa area, now you get to see, like, what really did happen. Once you were able to create your command post, where did you actually do it? I'm sure it was far away from there because it was...
It was actually at the entrance to the main clubhouse of the Silverado Country Club, which is at 1600 Atlas Peak Road.
Okay.
And it quickly transitioned, and I knew it right away from putting the fire out, which wasn't going to be the option, was to get, you know, we have such a good relationship between our law enforcement partners and fire here in this county, and they responded immediately, and I was met with them right away at the bottom there at the clubhouse where we established this command and with our law enforcement partners that it was all about rescue and getting people out,
right?
Because this was a time, 10 o'clock at night,
yeah,
people were going to bed, the wind was howling.
They had no idea that it was going on.
No,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we've immediately focused on, you know, the law enforcement and our Napa County Sheriff's Department on getting the evacuations, being together to show them where the fire's going and the areas we need to start evacuating. And really, the main focus at that point became getting those folks out.
And Sheriff Robertson, could you share with us, like, when you got the call, what did that even sound like? It was like, get your butt down here now.
Well, they didn't say that. But I got a call that we had a fire at Silverado Country Club, and
okay,
we were just wrapping up the Safeway Open.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we were still taking down our command structure for running security at that. And they said that they had embers blowing across the golf course.
Oh,
and they thought originally that structures at the golf course had started on fire, like a kitchen fire or something like that. So I left the house because the winds were very, very strong.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I left my house, and as I looked towards the country club, I actually realized that smoke was blowing from the other direction. So I got into my vehicle and I drove up Partrick Road to discover we were on fire up on Partrick Road also. So we started trying to get people off of from the city of Napa, the police department, to help us evacuate people on Partrick Road. They were very good on Partrick Road about leaving their residences by themselves. I mean, the winds were very strong, and the fires, and those fires eventually went down into the Carneros, and so we had to do evacuations then. But we immediately started calling our surrounding agencies, our counties, to get people. And believe it or not, originally Sonoma sheriff responded to help us with the Carneros evacuations until all of a sudden they realized they needed help in Sonoma, big time. So we did get help from Contra Costa County and Solano County and Fairfield and Vacaville Police Department and our local police departments. We just started, you know, working with CAL FIRE and trying to hit as many doors as we could and drive up these driveways. And then, you know, of course, we were on Mount Veeder. And I mean, it was just, we were surrounded.
Coming from so many different areas.
Right. We were surrounded by, it seemed like we were surrounded by fire.
Yeah.
I do recall that. Now that, oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Now, looking back, because, you know, I mean, I was working the Safeway open this year, and I was seeing how windy it was, and I was like, oh, gosh, like, please, can this just not happen? It was a kind of eerie feeling. I don't know if any one of you felt like that again this year. But, yeah, well, because then there was the fire over in Solano. I guess my question is, how, in terms of, okay, so when this year came around and we're thinking about, all right, this is the anniversary of the fire, how are we, I guess, better prepared this time around now compared to last year? Are there any specific measures that we've taken that maybe the county is, or the people of the county are maybe not necessarily aware of or know
about? Maybe like takeaway?
Yeah, or like a takeaway.
What did we learn?
Well, you know, there was a lot of successes through that incident. And there were some challenges that, you know, we look back on and we always want to try to figure out how we can do something better. And we don't mind looking at that to be better. The difference is, first start off with Mother Nature helped us with some rain that we got before these winds came, because these winds were strong. I mean, we had a recorded wind gust on Mount St. Helena last weekend of 72 miles an hour.
Really?
Pretty significant wind. So we got a little bit of a break with the rain. Our fuels were not quite as dry. But the things that we've done in the fire side of thing, and I'll let the sheriff talk about some of the things we're doing in the law enforcement side of things, we've got some cameras up. In fact, our county IT folks worked their rears off to get these cameras up and working over the weekend.
Wow.
And they're going to eventually be for public viewing through alertwildfire.org.
Oh.
So you can go into alertwildfire.org, and there's a box in there that says North Bay Cameras, and you click on that. And these cameras are going to start popping up, and we're going to get these connected to the web here, hopefully, in the next several weeks. But here in Napa County, we have one on Mount St. Helena. There's one on Atlas Peak, and there'll be one going over on Berryessa Peak on the east side of Lake Berryessa.
That's fantastic.
And, yeah, people will be able to view those cameras and look out. And it'll be another tool if someone says, oh, it looks like a smoke starting, or if come up, maybe there's a fire, and call 911. We'll use it in our dispatch center, who is going to be able to manipulate the cameras, not the public.
Oh, that's
to maybe
awesome.
Validate something. If like maybe we get a call for a possible smell of smoke, or someone sees smoke in a certain area, we can use those cameras to give
look
us
around.
Some additional intelligence and tools in dispatching for that fire. So that's a great thing. You know, we are working very hard with our partners on warning everyone about the red flag conditions now.
Mm-hmm.
They've been going out through Nixles, letting the public know to be cautious. Additionally, we had some extra fire engines in the county this weekend. Last weekend, the op area, which is the fire chiefs basically from Calistoga to American Canyon, we all got together for a call and decided as a county to bring in five local government engines from the Monterey area to boost our stuff here. We also had all the CAL FIRE resources on call, staffed reserve equipment. We had our aircraft coming up on early first light over the weekend. So we took some things to continue to monitor it. And after those conditions last week, you know, we're not going to be done until we get some more substantial rain. And California really doesn't have a fire season anymore. It's just summer preparedness, and sometimes it's not, because some of our largest fires happened, you know, December, January last year. Southern California was burning. So, we're doing all we can too, and I'll let the sheriff discuss some of the things they're doing as well.
Yeah, it's all really just about, again, being prepared, because I think that's, you know, we're, like you said, it's Mother Nature. We can't exactly know when things are going to go down, but we can be better prepared for them.
Definitely. We're what we're saying now is we just want to glance in the rearview mirror at this. We definitely have lessons learned. We don't want to turn around as we're moving forward and focus backwards as to,
right,
you know, what we could have done better. But we've definitely have some takeaways. Mm-hmm. So we're working on that. We worked with CAL FIRE and we just pushed out over 12,000 mailers that went to people in fire-prone areas. Mm-hmm. And along with, depending on their area, it has an evacuation plan. But more importantly, it has checklists for, like, how to prepare a go bag and what's That's important to have. And we have a very, very disaster resilient community. I mean, we've been through a couple of earthquakes.
Yes.
We've been through fires before. We've also offered assistance to other counties that are going through fire with housing and things like that up at our Calistoga Fairgrounds. So we're and we've dealt with flooding. So we're pretty good.
We're one stop shop.
Yeah, we're pretty good at this. Let me put it this way: the State Office of Emergency Services knows us very well, and we know them on a first name basis.
Wow.
And we have partners, and like our partners with CAL FIRE and the California Highway Patrol and things like that. We all work together, and so we pushed out the mailers, and we're trying to get people to actually learn who their neighbors are. We've kind of gotten away from that.
Yeah.
But it's so important, especially people with disabilities or you've got right. monolingual people that maybe don't understand English and things like that. But it's super important if you speak Spanish and you know your neighbor it doesn't speak English to go over there and offer the warning or help them. Mm-hmm. Prepare for these emergencies, because we are, you know, I hate to say this, and we're going to have additional disasters in our lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's important for us to prepare, but it's also super important for us to prepare ourselves. You should be coming up with your with an evacuation plan with your own family, a meeting spot that you can go to check on your children or your parents or grandparents or neighbors. If we don't have power or we don't have a cell phone,
what are we going to do?
Yeah, exactly. What are you going to do? Yeah. So all this stuff should be prearranged, but we really need to take care of ourselves, especially that first 72 hours, mm-hmm. because resources are slim, and we realize that. Mm-hmm. Even with the help from law enforcement, we had 38 agencies come to help us, law enforcement agencies, including 640 members of the National Guard.
Wow.
And we had community volunteerism like I've never seen it before. You know, just people opening their storefronts and opening their doors and using their own vehicles to do things. Things and move things and set up shelters and all kinds of stuff. So
you saw a lot of selflessness
absolutely.
Come out of the fires.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And the hashtag Napa Strong really, I don't think it truly quite embodied exactly what everybody was doing here.
You know, honestly, it's our way of life here in Napa County. And I'm not going to call it Napa Valley because it's a county.
Yeah.
And there are people that live outside the valley that are super important to us. But the people that form these different volunteer groups and things like that, we're currently working with COAD, trying to address one of the issues that we had from that in reaching the Spanish community. And so in talking with them and being able to communicate and warn them,
yes.
that sort of thing.
Yes.
Now,
I would say that was, you know, something that I noticed that we could be doing better on, just as a community as a whole. But I'm glad that that's something that's in conversation that we're already thinking
it's,
about.
It's not conversation. We're working each and every day. Trust me, I was just in a two-hour meeting yesterday. But these meetings are every week. We're having these meetings and bringing in people from the community.
That's fantastic.
Barry, to close the show, is there any resources online, you know, kind of landscaping around your business, your home, that can better prepare or help your department out when these fires happen?
Yeah, absolutely. I recommend everyone goes to readyforwildfire.org.
Okay.
And that is a great website for tools and talks about everything from the Ready, Set, Go plan that the sheriff was speaking to. So readyforwildfire.org.
Thank you so much. Sheriff Robertson, Bierman and Barry Bierman, thank you so much for being on our show. Like any other guest that comes, we want to welcome you anytime you want to share anything that's going on in the community, any important events. If Cal Fire is going to be at, you know, parade or wants to tell us about community events that you guys are you want to spread the word, feel free to come back. We'll gladly share it with our public.
Yeah.
So thank you so much again.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So if you're listening to La Hora with Isela y Gabriela, we're not going to go to a commercial break. We're going to go ahead and give you the last minute events that are happening in our county. So if you can help me out, Gabriela, on October 11th, which is today, we do have Conjunto Vibrazón returns to the beautiful Silos in Napa. That is today at Silos, and I believe it starts at 8:30 p.m. today.
Yes, and over in St. Helena also today, they're going to be having singer Ligia Correa and Baile Folclorico coming in from Ballet Infantil El Valle. It is a free event that's going down today, like I said, at the St. Helena Public Library at 6:30 p.m., again, to celebrate Latino Heritage Month.
And October 14th, Mariachi Real de Oro with Steven Sandoval from Mariachi Vargas. Woo-hoo. Performance accompanied by folkloric dancers at 3 p.m. is when doors open, Napa Valley Performing Arts Center in Yountville. Tickets are still on sale at LincolnTheater.com, $49 to $79.
Yes, and do we want to announce our lucky winner that we had a contest for?
Maria Villa Gomez from Napa Valley College, you have won a pair of tickets. Woo-hoo. You have won a pair of tickets. Thank you for participating, and we hope to see you there this Sunday. Día de los Muertos. I just want to tell you, Day of the Dead here in Napa, 25 Altares, free event. If you're interested in creating your own altar, it will be at Harvest Middle School. Please give Juan Diaz a call. His phone number is 707-337-2970. The celebration is Saturday through Sunday. I believe you will be putting up your altares on Friday before that weekend. So please feel free to call Juan Diaz, 707-337-2970.
Perfect. Y creo que solamente nos falta el dicho of the week.
Sí.
El fuego no tiene sombra, el fuego deja huella.
Fire has no shadow, fire leaves an impression. Enough said. Mic drop. I love the show today, Gabriela. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. I feel like we really did not have
enough time. I know. Oh, my gosh. It needed to be a two-hour show. Pero, en fin, it was a pleasure. This was La Hora with Isela.
Y Gabriela.
On 1440 AM. Hasta la próxima, mi gente.
Hasta la próxima.